everybody know the old Enchanted Rooster gonna crow.
Did you know that one chicken puts out 25 BTUs an hour? I didn't until Bob Rogash told me. Bob Rogash is energy conscious and inventive. Recently, he explained his concept of what he calls a super insulated solar passive home, his own semi-subterranean house northwest of Fairbanks.
What we're basically trying to do is to build a house that uses as little energy as possible. Or one way of looking at it is that our walls, the way we design them, will lose 6,000 BTUs per square foot per year, or every 14 years or 15 years, you'll have to have 1 gallon of fuel per square foot of surface area. And in a typical home, today, by FHA minimum standards, which are the bottom scale, which are not, you know, have to be looked at as minimum standards because they certainly are, an R19 6-inch wall house will use a gallon of oil every 3 years. And so that's the difference right there.
Could you explain what an R is?
Resistance. It's resistance to heat flow or sound or like electrical resistance for people into electric. It's the same thing. Heat mm-hmm. resistance, sound resistance. It's resistance, the flow of heat through materials. Basically, we're trying to put 1/3 of our annual heat load inside the house. And that's what we're trying to do.
And how about that other 2/3?
The other 2/3 comes from the sun, and living heat and heat that we have to put into the house.
How did you learn about these things? How did you develop these concepts?
Trying to live, just trying to exist without paying a great deal of money. You know, we haven't looked at what energy costs. Today, the average person in the next 30 years in this country is going to spend $130,000, $140,000 of their wages in energy to heat their house. And I just refuse to work for somebody for that long for nothing. You know, I just refuse that there's a better way, and there is. It's passive solar or super insulated houses.
While Rogash acknowledges that his methods are most suitable for frame construction, log homes can also be re-insulated, though the increased R value reduces the aesthetic value.
A log house should be covered up on the outside. Anybody who puts insulation on the inside of the house or cover the logs out is taking all that thermal mass and throwing it away. Well, that's great if you can afford to pay the bill and keep paying for it, you know, have at it. But for those who want to keep a warm house and not pay bills, insulate on the outside and keep the logs for yourself.
Rogash himself favors other types of construction. The walls of his own house are 9.5 inches thick and filled with crumbled urethane foam rescued from the dump and ground up in a mulcher. He has an R value of 64. The average Fairbanks home has an R value of 16. There are no doors between rooms, and even a bedroom fairly removed from the heat source feels warm. The entire house stays a constant 70 degrees. It's his living testament to a solar passive, super insulated living.
And we have to get back to passive solar, and we have to start utilizing heat or energy to its end concept, to the end uses. And the end uses is not just burning it, heating it, and throwing it away.
Peat moss and sawdust are two readily available insulating materials. They're cheap, natural, recyclable. But banks won't finance non-standard insulation, and a lot of home builders are skeptical as well. Rogash uses more than lots of insulation to maintain the heat in his home. He also relies on body heat, and not just the human body. Most men give off 390 BTUs per hour, and women average 330 BTUs. Animals give off heat, too, and if kept indoors, they'll keep you warm. Bob Rogash keeps chickens.
Here you can see we have eggs right inside the house. There's three eggs right there. And look, there's a hen right there. See her?
Uh-huh.
She's sitting there. We got 2 eggs. Hi, Chick. These chickens are really nice when they start living with you like this. A rooster is worth 25 BTUs per hour. A cow is worth about 34. So if one's really ambitious, what they should do is jack their house up, put a barn under it, get 3 cows, 2 horses, a couple of goats, and a dozen chickens, and that pays for your heat bill.
Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. One of the items on today's agenda for the Fairbanks meeting of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee concerned the controversial statewide TV town meetings hosted by the Alaska Public Forum. Representative Jim Duncan of Juneau, the committee chairman, had already gone on record questioning the use of bond money pegged for capital projects. Before today's meeting, State Ombudsman Frank Flavin had sent Duncan a letter outlining the potential problem concerning misuse of bond funds. Jim Duncan explains.
The Ombudsman had written me a letter, it was actually dated November 9th, but I'm sure it was in form much sooner than that, expressing his concern about the use of bond funds for the town meeting process. He goes through a quite extensive analysis of it, and at the end determines that the cost of the project probably should not have been funded by the bond issues, that it did not, for the most part, deal with transportation issues as is required by the bond issue, therefore it is an improper cost. With bond issues, with bond money, that's money approved by the voters, and there's a certain voter trust that you have to uphold there that I think the government, the administration, has to uphold. If you don't use that money as specified in the bond issue and as the voters think will be used, I think you're betraying a public trust and run a real risk and danger of future bond issues being looked at very skeptically by the public.
Now, was it known prior to the first airing of the public town meetings that the bond money would be used for this purpose?
It was not known by me, and I'm sure it wasn't known by many others. On the first airing of the town meeting, the Juneau town meeting, which I appeared on, I asked a question in private of the state officials there where the funding was coming from, and I was told general fund. We then immediately began to look at it, and it was only after the conclusion of the programs that documents were forwarded to my office, which showed that it was bond fund money. That's when I brought it to public attention and scheduled it on our meeting. Prior to that, and I think many people were under the assumption it was general fund money.
Was there any way that the meetings could have been conducted that would have appropriately used bond funds?
I think that if they would have spoke specifically to capital projects relating to transportation planning, bond funds may have been an appropriate use, but when it expanded into other areas, it became inappropriate. Mr. Flavin, I believe, has even disagreement with that. He thinks perhaps that it's illegal to use bond fund money on the town meeting concept. We are, the committee has authorized our investigation, and we will be looking at the legal aspects of it, as well as doing a financial audit. And we'll be asking for reimbursement of the bond fund money from the general fund. So we will be taking steps to correct the problem. The committee has been authorized to introduce legislation which would transfer money from the general fund back to the bond fund. The amount of that transfer is not known until our financial audit is complete, but the committee will be introducing the legislation, and of course it will go through the hearing process in the legislature.
But it won't be going through a television town forum hearing
process.
No,
not at all.
Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.